Fred Thompson went home to see his mother.
Okay, so Fred Thompson's out of the race. This week, he's out.
He didn't go to Florida.
Okay, so then there will be five. I got to say, Ron Paul is always up there in that five and doing surprisingly well. It's interesting. I think a lot of times the press treated Ron Paul on the Republican side like Dennis Kucinich on the Democratic side. But whereas Dennis Kucinich never seems to get over 5%, Ron Paul gets 10%, 14%. He is still a hefty little section of your party, not the majority, but a good, you know, one-sixth or one-seventh of the people.
Ron Paul has developed a very avid, active cult following. His people are probably more enthusiastic, dedicated, and committed than anybody on either side. When he's on the ballot, 100% of Ron Paul's supporters, he doesn't need a get-out-the-vote effort. His people go to the polls because they are motivated. He doesn't even have a campaign. He's just an icon. He's a cult figure, and that's the way he's surviving.
Will he get to speak at the Republican National Convention?
Yes, he will.
You think so?
Yes, he will.
And they'll let him say whatever he wants to say, even if it tells us to get out of Iraq?
I think we've found that there's no controlling Ron
I
Paul.
I think that's true, and that's a good thing. So here we are now. It seems that Thompson, one thing he did do before he, and I agree with you, I think he's going to leave the race this week. One thing he did do is he really hurt Mike Huckabee. If Thompson hadn't been in the race, I think Huckabee would have taken it. Because if you look at the polls, you see that Republicans, McCain lost in South Carolina. Conservatives, McCain lost in South Carolina. What he won was, he got close in Republicans and conservatives, but he won overwhelmingly independents and moderates. And I didn't even think those were allowed to vote in South Carolina. But according to the Washington Post, some 20% were independents. How can a candidate that loses the Republican vote take your party's primary?
Okay. You know what? That's going to be a problem for John McCain in the future. Up to this point, we've had a number of primaries where independents are allowed to cross over, where they're open primaries, and you can appeal to anyone. We've had this discussion where John McCain will make probably the toughest general election candidate that the Republican Party has. But what John McCain has is a base problem.
Yes,
and John McCain has always had a base problem.
Rush Limbaugh was excoriating him on the air, and he wasn't the only one.
Now that we're moving into the states that don't have the ability to cross over, John McCain has got to show that he has mended fences with the base, and we'll see whether that works or not. There's some doubt in my mind that he has. Now, should he be able to somehow navigate his way through the primary process and become the nominee, I think he'll bring the base home. It'll take some work, but I think he'll be able to do it. The question becomes, when he gets to Florida, when he gets to Super Tuesday, will there be enough people in whatever coalition he's able to put together that will pull the ballot for him and make him the big winner on Super Tuesday? The jury's out. He's not a guaranteed yet.
We have to talk about Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, and it's strange for me because the media seems to love John McCain and to hate Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney has done a lot better than any other candidate in your race. He has won Michigan. He has won Wyoming. He has convincingly won a majority
in
Nevada. And he's gotten second in Iowa and New Hampshire. And I think third or fourth in South Carolina. I think fourth just behind Thompson. Okay. He has done better than any candidate in your party. He has more delegates than any candidate in your party. Why is the media treating John McCain as the front runner when clearly Mitt Romney is your front runner?
John McCain knows how to work the press.
Right. But they love him, don't they?
The press has had a love affair with John McCain for a long time. Now, they'll turn on him if he gets the nomination, but they like him.
I don't think so. I think he gets a lot of free and easy publicity. Mitt Romney, the press does not like.
Mitt Romney is the guy who's going after the votes, and he's going after the votes with the money and with the machine, the organization, and he's not going after it with the press. He's happy to suffer through the fact that the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Boston Globe don't like him.
It's not just that.
Doesn't bother him at all.
It's not just that. It's CNN.
CNN doesn't like any
True. But that's not true. They love John McCain. I guarantee you, because when we talk about the Democrats, it seems to me that the media is looking, and we'll get to this. I think they're looking for a fight between Obama and Hillary Clinton that's really not even really happening. I'll get to that in a minute.
The mainstream media endorsement is not part of Mitt Romney's strategy. He's not counting on them to get him anywhere. He's counting on the money that he's raised, his own money that he puts into it, which, as we know, is
substantial.
You know, not unlimited, but it's more than anybody else is going to have. And he's counting on the organization.
Is it fair that we have, just in general, totally apart from Mitt Romney, is it fair that candidates that are not multimillionaires, mm-hmm. have to raise money, have to get support, have to get the American people behind their campaign to get the money to run for president, and a guy like Mitt Romney simply writes a check.
Well, first of all, Mitt Romney has had an extraordinary successful year raising money. He has raised a ton of money that is not his own. Now, he's put, I think the last figures were $24 million of his own money into it, and he's going to
That's probably half a little bit more.
Of his stack. No. He's upwards close to $100 million now.
Okay, a quarter of his stack.
And he has the ability to put more in. You know, there's this pesky little thing called the First Amendment. I just don't know how you're going to tell somebody that they can't put their own money into a campaign, you know, that's theirs. Is it better to put your own money into it, or is it better to be beholden to special interest groups who are giving you the money?
I think it's a pesky little thing called democracy, and I would say that we don't have the candidate put their money in, and we don't have special interest do it. We do something that they've done in Europe for 50 years now, Mike. It's called public financing. And here's my proposal, all right?
All right.
Instead of having, because you could argue, well, but how much does the government give? Does it give equally to the Green Party, to the Libertarian Party, to the American Nazi Party? I mean, here's an easy answer. The government gives every American voter, every American citizen, a number. Let's say $50. Okay? And that citizen can direct without, they can't keep the money. Okay? It's paper money to them. They can direct where that $50 goes. They can send that $50 to Hillary Clinton, to Mitt Romney, to Ron Paul, or to no one, or to the Green Party candidate, the Libertarian Party candidate, and then the government writes a check for that person. By doing that, the American people get to decide who's popular, who's not popular, get to decide where money goes and where money doesn't go, and the candidates themselves don't get a step up just because they're rich, like Mitt Romney.
Okay, well, the Supreme Court has decided that that's not a viable thing.
We haven't tried the Mark Levine plan.
Well, they haven't tried the Mark Levine plan, but what the Supreme Court has said is that, you know, spending on political campaigns is a free speech issue.
But there's an easy way out of it. Here's what you do.
You amend the Constitution?
No. You don't need to amend the Constitution.
Spoken like a true Democrat.
You don't need to amend the Constitution. Hey, you know me. I got my Constitution in my pocket, Mike. I think it's pretty good as it is. No. Here's what you do. You make the money enough. Let's say it's $100 per American citizen. We don't even need that much. Let's see. There's 200. And
let's take 10. Whatever you want
even,
to do.
Even if it's 10, that's 300 million Americans. Maybe half don't participate. It's enough money at, you know, $1.5 billion. It's enough money to go around that you say to the candidate that you can't spend your own money if you accept the public funds. Now, if you refuse the public funds, which is your right, you can spend whatever you want. But if the public funding gets a candidate $300 million, and even Mitt Romney can only afford to put in $24 million, guess what? They're going to go for the public financing. We do no harm to the First Amendment, but we protect equal votes, which to me is all what America is about. Not $1 one vote, one person one vote.
Well, the Constitution guarantees one person one vote. It does not guarantee everybody will get a $50 or a $25 check from the government to give to the candidate of their choice. The difficulty with what you've done is both parties have eschewed public financing.
Because they didn't used to.
Because the American people have the ability to voluntarily hit that $3 check off on their thing.
Yeah, but the American people don't know what it means.
Our
listeners, I guarantee you, people think they're paying $3 extra in taxes. And folks, when you hit the check off box, which I support, you do not pay a penny extra in tax. All it does is it puts the money in the hands of the government and of you and of the candidates rather than of rich people. And so I support checking off that box.
I appreciate the compliment very much, but, you know, the fact of the matter is it says right on the tax form, this will not increase your taxes.
I know, people don't understand that. I don't think.
People don't understand that, then we have a real problem with public education.
Well, there we both agree. Before we close off on the Republicans, we've got to talk about Mike Huckabee. He seems to me to be getting a bit of a pass as well. I think John McCain gets a huge pass from the media. But here you have Huckabee, who at one time advocated quarantining everyone who's HIV positive, who believes that evolution never happened, a man who has just talked about amending the Constitution to reflect God's will. I don't know if you heard him say that.
I heard the speech.
Don't you think he's getting a pass from the media?
You know what? Mike Huckabee's balloon is deflating. He's had his 15 minutes of fame. He did very well in Iowa, and he hasn't done very well since. South Carolina was his one chance to break out and show he could do it again. He came in second place. Where else does Mike Huckabee go? There's no other state where he's going to play. But he's going downhill.
You think he's gone. Folks, join in the conversation. 571-749-1166. If you're outside the calling area, toll free, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back with the Democrats after this.
sitting on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy.
In fact.
Bang, 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 bang.
Okay.
I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend.
I can talk loud. A lot of people.
But she wouldn't wake up.
Very excited about someone as charismatic and as good on the campaign trail as Huckabee, you know, being seriously considered.
If you give me a fish.
If you give someone a fish.
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last call.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweet nectar.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Live from Washington, it's the Inside Scoop. With all the news the government does not want you to know. Now, here's the host of the Inside Scoop, Congressional Attorney Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the election returns with my guest, Mike Lane, Republican strategist. We will get on to the Democrats this segment and also encourage you to call in and let us know why you support the candidate you support. And if you're undecided, I want to hear that, too. The number's on your screen, 571-749-1166 or toll-free 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Before we get to the Democrats, though, Mike, I want to show, if I can, I'm not sure this is going to work, but let's see if we can show the clip of Huckabee when he talks about amending the United States Constitution.
It is good. Let's talk about God and the Constitution, Mika.
Good. I look
Governor Mike Huckabee. Yesterday.
Here we go.
I have opponents in this race who do not want to change the Constitution. But I believe it's a lot easier to change the Constitution than it would be to change the Word of the living God. And that's what we need to do, is to amend the Constitution so it's in God's standards rather than try to change God's standards so it lines up with some contemporary view of how we treat each other and how we treat the family.
Okay, he doesn't want to amend God's law to fit the Constitution. He wants to amend the Constitution to reflect God's law rather than contemporary standards. You know, Osama bin Laden couldn't have said it better. Amend to fit the Quran, right? I mean, this is theocracy, pure and simple.
Let's put this in a bigger context and let the audience know what he was talking about, and then I'll tell you why he's out of it. He was talking, if you watch the whole speech, about only two issues. He wasn't talking about creating a theocracy. He was talking about two mainstream issues it was abortion and gay marriage. Abortion and gay marriage, where there's been a lot of mainstream discussion as to whether or not we need to amend the Constitution to make this happen. If that kind of argument is not going to play into a win in South Carolina in a Republican primary, it's not going to play any place. Not only is Governor Huckabee, as I said before the break, you know, the air's coming out of his balloon. Not only is he receding now as a major threat as a presidential candidate, but I think with that single quote, he has taken himself out of the run for the vice presidential stakes. He won't even be considered on anybody's ticket for the number two spot as a result of that quote.
Well, I think this represents a large portion of your party. What's interesting to me?
He got 30%. That's not, you know, in South Carolina. If you can't win as an evangelical, if you can't win in South Carolina on that kind of thing, you ain't going to win nowhere.
He was 3 points out of first, and if Fred Thompson hadn't been in the race, he would have won. I'll bet you my cousin be
showing
on Super Tuesday wins a number of southern states, Alabama and Georgia. I'm trying to think what other. Tennessee is also a Super Tuesday.
I don't think Tennessee is Huckabee country. We'll see. Alabama.
We'll see.
I don't know specifically what's happening in that state, but Huckabee is fading. He's just, you know, he had his run in Iowa.
So you think it's a Romney-McCain race?
It, you know, again, the half a prayer for Giuliani, which is probably not going to work, but I do think it's come down to a Romney-McCain race at this point, yes.
I have to tell you, I think a lot of more mainstream Republicans, moderate Republicans, are hoping for that, but I think they discount Mike Huckabee, and we'll see. I know Democrats, frankly, and we're going to move on to the Democrats now, who are so unsure between Obama and Hillary Clinton, that they're saying, well, you know, I'll just, I don't care who wins. I like both of them. We like our choices. I'll just go in the Republican primary and I'll pull the lever for Mike Huckabee. We'll see if that happens.
As you know, Virginia has an open primary law. If they want to do
that, they have the right to do that.
Right.
Let's move on to the Democrats, because it's fascinating to me the differences. In the Republican primary, there are real strong differences of opinion. John McCain has very different views on the issues from Mike Huckabee, who's very different from Mitt Romney. They're all different from Fred Thompson. They're all different from Ron Paul and Giuliani. Each one of them has very distinct, differing views. And it's a fight, as Fred Thompson said, over the heart and soul of the Republican Party. In the Democratic Party, if you look at Hillary Clinton, if you look at Barack Obama, even if you look at John Edwards, it's hard to tell the difference. And I'm a Democrat. I would venture to say that on 90 to 95% of the issues, they agree. They all support universal health care. They all don't think we can do it right away like Dennis Kucinich does, but they can take steps toward it. They all want to bring troops home from Iraq. They all want to do something because they all believe, unlike the Republicans, our economy is in a recession or heading toward a recession. They all think that we can do the recession rather than the Republicans who think, you know, let people suffer.
It's all over YouTube, got like about 25 million hits, something like that. And since that time last May, nobody knows what Fred Thompson has done. He's just run an absolutely abysmal campaign. The Reagan coalition is the social conservatives, the national security conservatives, the fiscal conservatives, and the anti-tax people. No one is embracing 100% of that coalition's agenda. So there's going to be some work to be done once the Republicans have a nominee to bring whatever piece of it back, and particularly John McCain, and I do think he is going to be the nominee ultimately. He's going to have a lot of work to bring the Reagan coalition back together before he starts reaching out. The Democrats on the other side, they have some differences as to what's going on, but the issue is, on the Democratic side, the war of words. I mean, this is unprecedented verbiage that they're using to each other. Bill Clinton is, you know, calling Obama a fairy tale. Obama is calling Bill Clinton flat out a liar.
No.
Let me read you the quote.
To me is exactly what the Republicans are trying to do. This is what's interesting to me. The candidates respect each other.
They
saw the debate. They are not. And here the Republicans are trying their best to throw wedge issues at the Democrats. The Republicans, Fox News is like, let's make issues of race. Let's make issues of gender. Let's separate people.
Obama's bringing race into this thing.
If you saw the Las Vegas debate, you saw both Hillary Clinton and Senator Barack Obama make it very clear that race and gender should play no part of this debate.
As they send out messages all the time.
No, the pundits love it. The Republicans love it. The Democrats are saying, look, you know, we may disagree on experience versus change. That's a fair debate. But this isn't about black or white or men or women.
Okay, here's what we got going here. You have Obama and Hillary. I'm telling you, you're putting good spin on it, Mark. They hate each other's guts.
I disagree.
They hate each other's guts. They have no respect for each other.
It's a war.
This is a fight for the nomination.
Of course it's a fight for the nomination.
They're not going to let anything get in the way of their fight. Now, the second thing that's very interesting is the racial fissure inside the Democratic Party. You've done an excellent job over the years in glossing over whatever minor or more than minor fissures may have been there, but now you've got the black versus the brown fissure that is really happening, and this thing broke wide open in Nevada. I mean,
well, Nevada,
Obama's getting 70% of the black vote, and Hillary's getting 70% of the brown vote.
She's definitely got the Latino.
It's breaking apart. The Latino vote
has what made it for Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely.
Because Obama did a lot better among white people than he did among Latino people, which is very interesting, which shows that I don't think you can call this a racial thing, all right?
Well, they're white people. No one's playing the race card against each other.
No one's playing the race card. There are many, many white people who like Barack Obama. There are many who don't. There are many black people who like Hillary Clinton. Latinos, I think, many of them are new citizens. Many of them are voting for the first time. Many of them remember Bill Clinton and how good the economy was under Bill Clinton. And I think they're maybe more conservative, small c, not in your sense. They want someone who's been around a while like Hillary Clinton rather than a new face like Barack Obama. And it's not racial.
And did Obama say yesterday that the Democratic Party hadn't had a new idea in the last 15 to 20 years? Is that a slap at Bill Clinton and saying that his administration was a disaster? I think it was.
He said the Democratic Party
hadn't had a good idea in the last 15 to 20 years. That's what he said yesterday.
That's a direct quote?
That's a different quote that I'm going to read you now.
I hadn't heard that quote,
That's what he said yesterday, that they hadn't had a good idea in the last 15, and this is a party. We need to be the party of ideas.
Are you sure there wasn't a spokesperson who said that?
It was Barack himself.
Now, it was Barack himself, and let me make it very clear. Let me just make it clear. If it was Barack Obama himself that said the Democratic Party hasn't had a new idea in 15 or 20 years, then I would strongly condemn that statement. But I haven't said that. I haven't read that. I will look it up in the break.
The other thing Barack is complaining about now is that, and let me read this to you. This is going to be on ABC News tomorrow morning. ABC has it on their website right now. He said, the former president, who I think all of us have a lot of regard for, has taken his advocacy on behalf of his wife to a level that I think is troubling. He continues to make statements that are not supported by the facts, whether it's about my record of opposition to the war in Iraq or our approach to organizing in Las Vegas.
Well, that's perfectly normal.
This has become a habit. Wait, not supported by the facts.
In other words, Bill Clinton is lying about Obama's record. Come on. Republicans love to make this huge dust up between the Democrats when the Republicans are basically calling each other liars. McCain calls Romney a liar. Romney calls McCain a liar. I mean, the hatred there, the bad blood there is boiling. Here's the difference. Look, they have a difference here. Bill Clinton points to what Barack Obama said in 2004 about Iraq. You can read it one way, you can read the other way. Of course, they're playing politics with it. They're going to say one thing about Obama's record, he's going to say another thing. That's the way it goes. That's fair. It's perfectly fair to talk about the issues. What's not fair, I think, is what the pundits are trying to do, what you Republicans are trying to do, which is make this into a race war. And I know why you're doing it. You're doing it in order to divide the Democrats.
Mark, we're sitting even back though watching our party, this whole thing.
No.
It's Hillary and Obama.
Hillary and Obama in Las Vegas made it very, very clear. You couldn't have heard more praise in that debate from Hillary Clinton towards Senator Obama, from Senator Obama towards Senator Clinton. They both have a lot of respect for each other. There are a few minor differences, but mostly they're stylistic differences. It's unfair to make a racial war out of it. They've been
briefed on how to gloss it over, and that's what it has glossed over. I'm telling you, it's a fissure that is going to tear your party apart.
Well, I couldn't disagree more, but I do want to hear from you. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back.
Some people in Fairfax County don't know what public access means.
Some think it's just another channel on the dial.
But it's much more than that.
It's the voice of the people.
People like you.
Your neighbors, your friends.
Or your family.
People who want to share ideas.
Opinions.
Cultures.
Lifestyles.
Art.
Sports.
Music.
Events. Entertainment.
History.
Science.
Beliefs.
People who want to learn about television.
Producing.
Directing.
Cameras,
audio,
lighting,
editing, or radio, talk, music.
Whatever you think people should hear.
Public access is the place where everyone has a voice.
And it's the place where that voice gets heard.
A place where you can create your own form of personal expression.
So what do you want to say?
Whatever it is.
You can say it here.
Because we're public access.
For the people.
By the people. It is about balancing our choices between the gray of the concrete jungle and the stunning beauty of the real one, between a stoic facade of granite and the fury of the canyon. It's why there's EarthShare, the simple way to find balance. EarthShare is the workplace giving program bringing the leading environmental groups under one umbrella. Support EarthShare, support them all. EarthShare. Please ask your employer about workplace giving. To learn more, visit our website. Thousands of kids in this country have everything it takes to go to college. Except the money. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
We are back to the Inside Scoop. Call in live and let your voice be heard. Here again, your host, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We've been looking up the quote. We found Barack Obama's comment where he said, "I think it's fair to say that the Republicans were the party of ideas for a pretty long chunk of time there over the last 10 to 15 years in the sense that they were challenging conventional wisdom." Okay, first of all, that's not what you said he said.
Close enough.
I don't think so, because I think what he's saying is the Republicans were challenging conventional wisdom. For example, conventional wisdom is that Americans like Social Security. Conventional wisdom is that Americans depend on Medicare. It was Republicans who said, you don't need Social Security anymore, let's throw it away. It was Republicans who said, we don't believe that children should have health care in this state children's health insurance program. They were challenging the conventional wisdom, which is that these programs work and it's a good thing. I think that's what he's saying. Now, the Republicans have been in power
The way the Clinton campaign interpreted it. Mrs. Clinton's reaction was, my leading opponent, she never calls him Obama, it's always my leading opponent the other day, said that he thought the Republicans had better ideas than Democrats in the last 10 to 15 years. That's not the way I remember the last 10 to 15 years. I don't, blah, 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 blah,
well,
blah.
Well, here's the point. I think this was a mistaken comment on Obama's part. Let's hear what he has to say.
He's also praising Ronald Reagan. He did that interview last week
Obama,
where he said Ronald Reagan
Obama
was some sort of great president.
Obama is reaching out to your party.
And
he's reaching out to Republicans. He's reaching out to independents.
Is praising Ronald Reagan the way to do it?
He's going to lose Democratic votes by doing it. I'll tell you this. One of the things that you cannot deny is that if you look at the polls, you see this just as the strict Republicans vote for Romney and the independents cross over to vote for McCain in the Democratic Party, the strict Democrats tend to vote for Hillary Clinton and the independents tend to cross over and vote for Obama. Mm-hmm. Obama is running toward the middle, as is John McCain, and that may make him more electable
Obama.
As a general election candidate. I don't know.
Obama,
he's still pretty new.
Obama, according to the American Conservative Union, the primary rating of Senate votes on the conservative side, and the American Democratic Americans for Democratic Action, the primary rating on the left side, Obama has a consistently more liberal voting record than John Kerry. How's he going to get to the middle?
He has about the
when
same.
He's got a consistent.
Because it's
John Kerry is 93% pure liberal. Barack Obama is 96% pure liberal.
Here's what Barack Obama does. Barack Obama is saying, in effect, to the middle, you like these Democratic ideas. You've never heard these Democratic ideas. All you hear from the media is spin and race war and gender war and all the things that you Republicans tried to make as wedge issues.
It's Hillary
and Obama who are
playing the race card. Republicans are sitting back watching this racial discussion inside
neither
the Democratic
Hillary Clinton
Party.
Nor
we're
no,
not
no,
doing
no.
anything about it.
No. Look.
We're watching it.
Hold on. All Hillary Clinton said was that it took a visionary like Martin Luther King to convince Lyndon Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson, to sign the Civil Rights Act. That is no doubt true. Yes, it required Martin Luther King, and yes, it required President Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson, you and I both know, would never have signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964 without Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was not president. He couldn't unilaterally sign the thing into law. It was a combination of both the idealism and the practice. Now, let me finish. There were people in Obama's campaign that tried to make an issue of that. Okay, Obama has distanced himself from them. Hillary Clinton has distanced herself from the people who've attacked Obama. Both of them are trying to run a positive campaign, even though the media and the Republican Party is salivating, trying to make these two fight. You hear, will there be a fight? Will there be a fight? I watched the entire Las Vegas Democratic debate, and I couldn't have seen a friendlier group between the three people sitting there, Obama, Clinton, and Edwards. The media and the Republican Party had tried to create a conflict. Really, of course there are differences. That's what a primary is all about. But basically, they agree about what's best for this country.
Okay, I'm not going to criticize Senator Clinton's quote on President Johnson.
I think it's no doubt correct.
Nor will I quibble with your assessment as to how Johnson was brought to the table and make this whole thing work. I think essentially you have it accurate. I think Martin Luther King was a strong moral force in that whole thing and deserves, in history, credit for what he accomplished.
Absolutely. And alliance.
However, why did Senator Obama send his people out there to
say that...
Oh, Mark.
Obama said
nobody,
he didn't.
Nope, I know, but nobody freelances
you think he's
like
lying?
This.
No.
Nobody freelances.
What do you mean nobody freelances like that?
They don't go out and do that.
You don't think the Shaheens were freelancing in New Hampshire?
No, Shaheen went out there at the direction of the Clinton campaign.
Oh, hold on.
You know that.
Let's tell the viewers what we're talking about. You know that we had Governor
Shaheen's husband.
Governor Shaheen's husband. I don't remember his name.
Bill Shaheen.
Bill Shaheen, okay, of New Hampshire, the governor of New Hampshire's husband.
The primary political Democratic operative in the entire state.
Made a comment that about Obama's past drug use that Hillary immediately discounted, said it wasn't part of my campaign. She personally apologized to Obama. He was taken off the campaign. Conversely, in the people who talked about that this Martin Luther King quote was somehow an anti-racial quote, Obama made it very clear. He said, sometimes my supporters get overzealous. I'm not about that. I firmly discount that. What you're trying to do is taking a couple overzealous reporters, a lot of overzealous reporters, and a couple overzealous supporters on each side, and to make it in some huge issue. The candidates are not doing this. They both recognize it's bad for the party, it's bad for the nation. The media loves it. They want a race war really badly. They're the ones who are like, look at all the women voting for Hillary Clinton. Yes, more women than men vote for Hillary Clinton. But the gender gap is, what, 10%, 20%? I mean, the point is that for 90% of men and women, they're voting on who they think is best. Yes, more women vote for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
The media loves to look at these small differences.
I'm with you on the 90% mark, but the election's won on that 10% margin.
And that's
what they're fighting
for. And that's fine. Listen, Hillary Clinton's candidacy excites a lot of women. That's understandable. Barack Obama's candidacy excites a lot of African Americans. That's understandable. Me, an undecided Democrat, I want to make sure we all get excited about the Democratic nominee come this fall. And I do fear that some of this is... And I really think it's borne mostly by Republicans in the media. It's not in the Democratic Party, but they're designed to tear us apart. And I have to say I was very, very impressed with all three candidates, with Obama, with Clinton, and with Edwards, at that Las Vegas debate, making clear you should not decide based on race or gender. You should decide based on the people and the issues.
They did a wonderful job glossing over their personal animosity to each other.
Are you just assuming that? Have you ever heard one say they dislike the other?
You got to look at President Clinton when he's out there. I mean, look at all these things. He is an
angry
white man.
His wife to win. What's wrong with that?
It's his demeanor. He's... You know,
yeah, well, he's angry at the press. He's not angry at Obama. Let's be clear who he's angry at.
He's angry at Obama.
No, he's angry at the press because he thinks the press has been unfair. And I have to agree with Bill Clinton on this. Just as the press, I think, has given John McCain a huge pass, while at the same time they've attacked Mitt Romney, not unfairly. I think Mitt Romney deserves to be attacked in a lot of ways. I just think they're only attacking him. They're not attacking John McCain, who, after all, has flip-flopped from calling evangelicals agents of intolerance to literally hugging Jerry Falwell to death, I guess, because he grasped him so hard. That basically the Democrats... The press is in a love affair with Barack Obama, and there's a lot of things to love about Barack Obama. I think he is actually a better spokesperson than Bill Clinton, who is a terrific spokesperson. When I hear his eloquence, it just you listen to him, and it's just everything he says is wonderful. Well, I like everything he says, and yet Barack Obama has to undergo the same pressures that Hillary Clinton does, which is why I was glad that one of them lost Iowa and one of them lost New Hampshire, because I want to see a good campaign. No one deserves it. Hillary Clinton doesn't deserve the nomination. Barack Obama doesn't deserve the nomination. I want them to fight for it.
All right, so where's this going? We have South Carolina coming up for the Democrats.
Barack Obama will win South Carolina.
All right, and then we have Super Tuesday.
Hillary Clinton, I think, is going to win the lion's share of delegates on Super Tuesday. I think it's hers to lose at this point. But, you know, for me, as an undecided Democrat, I've got to tell you, first of all, I'm happy with either one. I really am happy with either one. I mean, I do think Barack Obama is more inspiring than Hillary Clinton. I think his oratory, I mean, he gives a speech like I haven't ever heard. To say that he's better than Bill Clinton is saying something. Because he's a very, and it's powerful. And frankly, if Hillary wins, I hope she'll choose him as vice president. She'll nominee.
Not a chance, but just my opinion.
I think it's absolutely a chance. And if he wins, he might be able to draw independents. Because I can see them crossing over already to support. So that's good. Hillary Clinton, definitely has the experience angle, and that makes sense to me. She's a brilliant person. She's actually smarter than Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton's very smart. I know from my professors at Yale Law School, Bill Clinton was third in his class. Hillary was first in the class.
All right.
She's got an idea on everything. She has some great proposals for how to deal with the recession. She's really a policy wonk, and I like policy wonks. I like people who know the ins and outs and how it works. I'd like to see both of them. I'd like to see Barack Obama's inspiring speeches talking about the vision. I think he's got the vision down. I think Hillary Clinton's got the pragmatic stuff down. I'd like to see them work together no matter who is the presidential nominee, because I think they both carry, we need both vision and pragmatism, and that's the heart of what makes them both so great.
I've explained why I don't think that's going to be the case, but let me ask you one more question, if I can hijack your show and be the host for a second.
You can ask anything you like.
You know, you alluded to the fact that the Republicans are not yet coalescing around one, and that we've got a little bit of work to do to bring our entire coalition back together.
But the general
agreement among most people who are observers of politics, pundits, etc., that the one person capable of absolutely unifying the Republican Party is Hillary Clinton. So what does that mean?
Mike, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Right.
I had you on this show 3 months ago.
Right.
And I asked you who you felt was the stronger Democratic candidate going in. And you, I think, were quite honest. You said that you think that because Barack Obama is new to the scene, that for you and for a lot of Republicans, Hillary Clinton, they'd hold their nose, but they understand that she would be a capable president, whereas Barack Obama is still new. So now you're switching sides.
Let me refresh our collective memories as to what you asked. There was two different comments, actually. The first was, I agreed that if I had to have a Democrat, I mean, if you told me I didn't have a choice on my side, if I had to have a Democrat, I would take Hillary, because I think she's the only one on your side that has even a marginal grasp of what world affairs and the real world is all about. And so therefore, I think she would be a less dangerous president than would somebody like Barack, who I don't think has a clue. But on the second thought, the one is,
there's a lot more clue than certain governor of Texas when he went into power and couldn't even give a
Your second question was, who did I think would be the most formidable candidate on your side? And I agree. 3 months ago, I did think that Hillary Clinton was going to be your most formidable candidate. Since then,
Have you changed your mind?
I think Barack Obama has the ability to do what very, very few candidates do, which is to bring new people into the process, to inspire folks outside the usual coalitions, and that's a very dangerous thing.
He may be the Ronald Reagan of our party.
You don't know where that goes.
There may be some Obama Republicans, just like there were some Reagan Democrats. People who cross over to support Obama, and not from the middle, even from Republicans, because of his inspiration, because of his vision, and then actually come around and say, hey, it's not a bad idea to keep Social Security. It's not a bad idea to have children's health care.
I don't think that's what it's all about. I don't think Obama's going to get any Republican support. He's just too liberal and too inexperienced and too out of it. He's not the guy who's going to do that. He'll get a certain number of independents, depending on who we have. We'll get our share. If we have John McCain, we'll fight over the independents. What Obama has the ability to do is, we all know turnout is usually about 50 to 55%. What Obama can do is take that 50% of the Democratic Party who stays home and maybe motivate a piece of them to come out and expand the piece of the Democratic pie. That's what I fear.
If you look at turnout, whether you look at Iowa or New Hampshire, both purple states that can go either way,
mm-hmm.
all right? If you look at Michigan, a traditional Democratic state, if you look at South Carolina, a traditional Republican state, what do you see? In the Democratic races, turnouts are outstanding. They're breaking all records. No one has seen turnouts like this before in Nevada.
And that's
what I'm Republicans about. They are down.
No,
they
we're not down. Depressed. We're up. We're just not as up.
Look at South Carolina. South Carolina had half the votes that it had in 2000, the Republican primary. There's a reason for that. Democrats are energized. Whether it be Clinton or Obama or Edwards, we like our candidates. Republicans are depressed because they don't like their president
or their
candidate.
Right off CNN talking points. We love our candidates. We're going through the process of elimination right now. We're very happy with whoever it's going to be. I have, I can live, personally, with the exception of Governor Huckabee, I can live with any one of our people at the top of the ticket right now. And I discount Ron Paul as being an annoyance, not a real candidate.
When we come back, I want to talk about a particular Republican operative who has just come out and talked about his dirty tricks, a guy by the name of Alan Raymond, who in New Hampshire went to jail for trying to manipulate an election. Is there more like him in the Republican Party? Right back after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister, studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last call.
Oh, no, mister, stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister, what was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetness, sir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
We are back to the Inside Scoop. Call in live and let your voice be heard. Here again, your host, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Last week, I wore red for... We discussed entirely the Republican choices. This week, it's purple. We discussed both. Next week, after the South Carolina primary for the Democrats, which will be next Saturday, I'm going to talk only about the Democrats. And right now, I am still an undecided Democrat. So you can convince me who you want me to vote for in time for the Virginia primary on February 12th. I should say this. The show will be moving to Mondays. So if you normally watch this show on Sunday, we're going to have Inside Scoop Virginia in this time slot. It will be starting next Monday, which will be January 28th. It will be at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to encourage everyone who's been watching Inside Scoop to watch us on Mondays, 7 p.m., January 28th. Don't miss next week. It's just me and you and talking about the Democrats. And speaking of the Democrats, Mike, we haven't talked enough, I think, about John Edwards. John Edwards got second place, close, barely, but did get second place in Iowa. He was a distant third in New Hampshire, and then he was 4% in Nevada. He seems to be fading.
He is fading. There's a headline here that I was just looking at. I didn't read the article. The headline is Edwards prepares to play kingmaker.
Yeah.
And essentially, he said he's going all the way to the convention. There's not a strong incentive for him to get out unless he cuts a deal with
Money
with
is
someone.
An incentive. How is he going to keep getting money? I mean, after Super Tuesday...
He doesn't have Romney's money, but he's got enough personal wealth that he can afford to fly around.
And he'll pay for it, even if he can't win the nomination?
His personal wealth is $35, $36 million.
Here's the thing about John Edwards.
He can spend $1 million flying to every state just to...
Let me say this about John Edwards. I like what he has to say, particularly this election. It's a little different to me from what he said 4 years ago, but I like what he has to say about big corporations who are running our lives, whether it be big healthcare corporations, big oil companies. I think he's a little bit of a one-note Johnny, but I like his one note. I think it's a very powerful note, and I would note that both Obama and Clinton have taken that note and are using it themselves, and I like that. So I think John Edwards has a positive role to play in talking about the huge power of big corporations in America and how it's the government's role. They're the only ones, the government's the only ones powerful enough to take on the corporations on behalf of the individual American. I like that one note. I do think, though, that his time has passed. And I hope that both Clinton and Obama take that one note and run with it.
Well, unfortunately for John Edwards, he may or may not be right about the two Americas, but what we found out
he is right about it. Of course he is.
What we found out is that neither America likes John Edwards.
No. John Edwards,
he's going no place.
He's making strong points about poverty. I think a lot of people feel that John Edwards had his chance. It was in 2004. Mm-hmm. It's time to move on to Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama. But I think he's an important statesman in our party. I think he's saying good things. And whether he sticks around or not, I like the fact that Obama and Clinton are co-opting his message because it's a good message.
Tactically, he rolled all his dice on Iowa. It didn't pay off for him. He's like Huckabee. He's had his time in the spotlight. He's fading.
What happened in Nevada is very interesting. Polls going in showed basically one-third, one-third, one-third. I think it was 33 Obama, 31 mm-hmm. Clinton, 27 Edwards. It dropped to 4%. The public thinks his time has passed. And so I think he'll go on to South Carolina. I don't think he'll do well. I think Barack Obama will win South Carolina. Super Tuesday, I would think he won't win a single state. And at that point, he probably should drop out. Let me go. We have a caller on the line. George from Fairfax, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. I'd like to just add to your comment there about John Edwards. I think he probably was the best candidate. But unfortunately, he was not pre-approved by Wall Street. Therefore, the media weren't going to cover him. The media is the problem. In the future, you're going to have the same thing. When you look at the southern states, the media is already criticizing, condemning Hillary. She's probably going to end up being the candidate. She has a huge hurdle. Even Democrats don't like her in the South because of the media coverage that they're getting down there. If George Soros wants to do something for democracy, he should buy a few newspapers, buy a TV station that looks credible, not like that America radio show that was almost a comedy routine. They need something on a more serious level, and maybe they'll be able to have a little more impact.
George, I agree with you, and I think he makes a very good point when I was trying to make earlier about I think the media has played a huge role and an unfair role in this race. They look.
Well, let me agree with you.
I know they do. Let me make my point, and then you can agree or disagree. I think in the Democratic race, and I like Barack Obama. I do, and I think he'd be a fine nominee for our party, and does a lot of things about bringing in independence we've talked about. But I do think the media has been very hard on Hillary Clinton and not hard at all on Barack Obama. And I have to agree with George. I think they've been hard on John Edwards, too. I really think they have been promoting Obama at the expense of Edwards and Hillary Clinton. And I think in the Republican Party, they've been promoting John McCain at the expense of all the rest. And I don't want the media to anoint the candidates. I'm not attacking John McCain and Barack Obama by saying that I think the media should be harsh to all of them or friendly to all of them. They shouldn't choose the candidates.
Well, the Clinton campaign theme there for about 2 weeks was that Obama, Senator Obama, has not been, quote, vetted the way Hillary's been vetted.
Well, I think that's true.
Well,
don't you?
I do.
Okay.
In fact,
so you agree with Bill Clinton then?
I agree with Bill Clinton.
Fair
enough. In this case, that the press...
They love a new face.
The press has
their
favorite. The
press loves a new face.
You know, NBC, Tom Brokaw, I think it was, in his blog or somebody, you know, wrote that the reporter that was covering the Obama campaign made the quote that, you know what, it's just hard to be impartial about this guy. And if the reporter covering it is admitting that he's biased in favor of it, then, you know, the press is rooting for Obama, without a doubt.
Right. So actually, you agree with George and with me.
But what the Clinton campaign was getting at was that when we get in the general election, if it's Obama and he hasn't been vetted on the things that they were talking about, which was his drug use and things like that back when he was a teenager or a young adult or whatever it was, that he's going to face much, much tougher vetting in the campaign, in the general election campaign, and that perhaps it would be better for all concerned if he faced those questions now rather than later, and the press hasn't done it, and of course Senator Clinton can't do it because then she'll be accused of unfairly criticizing him.
Let me ask
the
you
way
this.
Governor, Mr. Shaheen, Bill Shaheen was.
In 2000, Al Gore made no mention of the three criminal convictions of George W. Bush. He was convicted not just of drinking while driving, but also for fighting and for stealing. Right? He stole a wreath as a fraternity prank. He got in a fight. He's, in fact, the first president, to my knowledge, in all of American history that has criminal convictions on his records. Al Gore never used it. He never touched it. He never talked about the persistent rumors that George Bush has not denied that he used cocaine. All right? Obama at least said, I used it. Bush said, I haven't used it since I was 40, and I'm not going to talk about what happened before I was 40. The Democrats didn't touch it with regard to this president. Therefore, based on that past, wouldn't it be fair if the Republicans don't touch it in 2008? Or are you going to have to admit to me that your party plays dirty tricks while my party doesn't go after those kinds of things?
Well, I would suggest that if Al Gore had it to do over again, he might want to change his mind on how he ran that
campaign.
You think
we should have?
A lot of things.
You think we should have mentioned George Bush's criminal conviction?
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, didn't. I don't know what Al Gore should have done.
Think that's fair game?
I think Al Gore is the one who needs to... examine in his own mind.
But you think it's fair
whether
game
he should have used
to mention the past drug use. George Bush was by all accounts high
have,
on cocaine all the time
what,
before he was 40.
What,
was that
no,
fair
no,
for the Democrats
that's,
to mention?
That's a mischaracterization. you know, there are unsubstantiated, unconfirmed rumors that he may have.
He's never denied it. So,
right, but he's never admitted it. Obama
said, I didn't do it since I was 40.
Obama has written a book and
right.
said, hey, you know, yeah, I was a cokehead.
Yeah,
you know?
No, he didn't say he was a cokehead. He said he tried cocaine. Don't you like his honesty? Don't you respect that? I mean, here, George Bush, I didn't use it since I was 40, and I'm not going to answer any questions before I was 40. And Obama says, yeah, I used it, and I got to tell you, I learned my lesson.
What happens was, if you take the way Bush did it and said, I'm not going to, you know, talk about the questions before I grew up, you know.
Before I became 40.
And that's not relevant. I'm not going to talk about those questions.
His youth, when he was 38.
Then the voters can make their own decisions as to whether or not that's relevant when they cast their ballot. On the other hand, when Senator Obama writes a book and talks about everything he did as a kid, and you want to give him credit for honesty, and other people say, well, gee, that was bad judgment and stuff like that, again, the voters can make up their mind as to whether or not that was, you know, a legitimate lifestyle or not.
If Obama is our nominee,
you know,
is there any doubt in your mind?
To his credit, he has grown out of it.
Well, of course he has. Is there any doubt in your mind, if Obama is our nominee, that Republicans will do another Swift Boat type ad where they look for all the dirty laundry they can possibly throw at us and not do what Al Gore did to George Bush and say, well, I'm not going to go into that. They're going to go and they're going to do everything but call him a terrorist. Isn't your party planning that right now?
Mark, this campaign is going to be the roughest, most heavy contact campaign with dirty tricks on both sides that you've ever seen.
We never play the dirty tricks.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
Let's talk about dirty tricks.
All right.
Because
you know
I have right here.
It goes both ways and
it's going to
happen.
It does not go both ways. Here, we have a very interesting article. You've read about Alan Raymond. Now, Alan Raymond, this is the style section, but it's been in the political section of the Washington Post as well. Alan Raymond is someone who was hired by the state chair of the Republican Party of New Hampshire, and he's also been hired, by the way, by your majority leader, Mitch McConnell, and a lot of very powerful Republicans to cheat. One of the many dirty tricks he did was to jam the get-out-the-vote phone lines for which he was convicted and sentenced to 3 months in prison. Now, what we find is that dirty tricks is a Republican trope. We find that Karl Rove, even the President of the United States, called him Turd Blossom. I know that's not very pleasant to consider, but that's the President's name for Karl Rove as a flower that grows out of manure. Your party thrives on dirty tricks. And I think the proof is in the pudding. Al Gore didn't use them against George Bush, and I think they were much more legitimate than jamming a get-out-the-vote operation.
Okay, let's talk about dirty tricks on your side. There was a story just a couple years ago where the son of a Democratic congressman, I think it was Illinois, went to jail. What was his crime? The Republicans had rented 50 cars to do their get-out-the-vote, get little old ladies who couldn't get to the polls by themselves and have cars to take them to the polls. And the night before the election, the Democratic congressman's son and two of his buddies went into the parking lot and put ice picks through four tires on 50 different cars.
Mike, we're running out of time.
So little old ladies couldn't go.
We're running out of time.
It goes on both sides.
The difference is that your party comes from the very top. Yeah, you've got crazy people at all levels on both sides. At your party, it's the people at the top, as we've learned from Alan Raymond. It's Karl Rove, the guy who is stealing the stationery of the rival party, writing press releases. I guarantee you it was Karl Rove that was behind the rumors in South Carolina that John McCain had an illegitimate black baby in 2000, that he was a traitor in North Korea
in 08. And here I am, Mark, reading a thing. Bill Clinton alleges voter suppression in Nevada. He wasn't talking about our side. He was talking about Barack Obama suppressing the vote against, you know...
Your party did a dirty trick. I want to see it stop, and I hope we can both argue for it.
Is it legitimate for Obama to suppress the vote against
Mr. Clinton? It's never legitimate to suppress the vote.
President Clinton,
that's the Inside Scoop.
Perfect.
All right, what is he like? What's Bill Clinton doing now?
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
America!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! One minute past 6 o'clock here in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. And it is, of course, the 21st day of January, 2008. And it is a special day. It is, of course, Martin Luther King's birthday, celebrated holiday. You know, Monday holidays, that invention of the Nixon administration. But there is an ironic twist to the holiday this year in that we celebrate this holiday on the same day that we celebrate the fact that in 1 year, yes, dear God, Lord Jesus, yes, in 1 year, we will be relieved of that pig-eyed, jug-eared, freakish little lout in the White House. That blood